The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment. Let's
go!
It's gonna be a football game tonight, man.
No doubt.
It's gonna be a football game.
I'm
here. Okay.
I'm here.
All right, let's go, baby.
He's in! Patriots win the Super Bowl! Brady has his fifth! What a comeback!
Watson. Touchdown! Hunter Renfro, little man, makes another enormous play. 1 second remaining.
Ladies and gentlemen, football to the max.
Your host, Sean Garmer, Gary Vaughn, and Randy Isbell.
Hello and welcome to another Football to the Max. And guys, and we are here with the full crew, by the way. Here is Eric Watkins joins me, and Gary Vaughn has returned. And we have some football to actually talk about. A game happened. We can talk about actual football, even though it's a preseason game. We should note that. But the Hall of Fame game did happen. We get to talk about that for a little bit. Obviously, it doesn't matter in the standings or anything, but it is kind of cool just to have a game and be able to watch actual NFL players on a field playing. Some of them, anyway. Yeah. Some of them may not be on that team after, but there's also some big news out of Miami with Ryan Tannehill having a big injury, and it could be season ending. And we also have the big controversy in Baltimore surrounding Colin Kaepernick and the injury to Joe Flacco. So, you know, and then we have other injuries that have been happening as well. As seems to happen at every training camp now, you can't escape it. And it's kind of sad that you look at these teams on paper and you're ready to, like, make all these preseason predictions and you go, yeah, forgot we have to get through training camp. And lo and behold, we're already talking about some serious injuries here. So,
yeah, and you wonder why I kind of hate predicting March or May.
Yeah,
we try to get ahead of ourselves so many times, and we try to get in there and really get into those predictions really hard and heavy, and act like we know the world until it's training camp, and then everything changes in weeks.
Yeah, it's a fun thing sometimes doing these predictions and going, oh man, wow, that guy went down. That changes a lot of things. But let's discuss this Hall of Fame game. It's just, we apologize in advance if it turns into Cowboys Minute for a little while, as it was the Dallas Cowboys playing the Arizona Cardinals in this game, who ironically also meet on Monday Night Football on week 3. So they will see each other again. Another reason for most of the starters not to play in this game, because you don't want to give anything possibly away at all. But Gary, I mean, of the people that we did get to see, Rico Gathers scores a touchdown.
Yeah, Rico Gathers is a project, and he was basically a basketball player out of Baylor who they said, oh, this guy's got some athletic ability, he looks good, let's just try this out. You know, there's other teams interested in him, let's go ahead and see what we can get out of him. They paid him the most that they could pay him possibly, and he was a pet project, and, you know, from what we've heard around the Cowboys facility, Tony Romo loved him last year. Of course, Romo not playing basically gave him all the opportunity to kind of practice with this young kid. And they said that they were running up and down the field. And now, finally in a game, we get to see kind of what they were talking about. Not a lot, but, you know, we at least got a big highlight with him scoring a touchdown there and looking good. So this will be kind of fun to watch in training camp to see how he looks overall after playing 5 preseason games and going through training camp. But very positive. You know, the Cowboys need to update that tight end position eventually after Witten decides he's going to go down the road. And this kid's looking good at the early stages.
I mean, they have other problems with, you know, Jeff Swain being there and James Hanna. Also, you got to figure out if you're keeping 4 tight ends, but they've got 4 more games to decide on that. But it's just good to see Rico out there, and getting a touchdown obviously helps you, as it does Bryce Butler, who played really well in this game, albeit, you know, again, the precursor, this is a preseason game. But he looked good. Kellen Moore was up and down. A guy that looked good on the other side, Eric, Blaine Gabbert. You know.
And
yeah, I bet you're wishing going, what the hell happened in Jacksonville then?
That's exactly what I said during the game on our group messages. Why wasn't he taking these confident dropbacks? Great arm motion, putting zip on it, especially finding open receivers down the middle. Where?
I'll tell you why. The quarterback whisperer, Bruce Arians, is your coach.
Yeah, so. but I was good for him, but boy, if I could have had a voodoo doll, there would have been pins in several different places. Just.
Gary, I mean, do you make... Go ahead, sorry.
I was just saying, so angrily frustrated. Good, because he really gave himself a bit of a nod for the number 2 position behind Carson Palmer. But he was our number 1. Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, he also had his very good, his decent stint with San Francisco as well after that, so... He's gotten to grow as a player since leaving Jacksonville.
Yeah, emphasis on since leaving Jacksonville.
I mean, a lot of people grow as players after leaving Jacksonville, but that's neither here nor there. I'm sorry.
Touché! Yeah. Touché! We have this unique curse to where you play here, you be decent, go somewhere else, and you luck into getting a Super Bowl ring. We can't explain how that happens. We just run with it.
Gary, I got 2 questions here for you. Anything to make of that defense? That's been the question mark. That is the question mark going into the season. They were getting pretty ravaged. Obviously, you're missing a lot of guys. You are going to be missing guys at the start of the season, too. But just, it seemed like, you know, we might be expecting this to be happening.
Yeah, and Dallas is facing the same situation they kind of faced last year, right? And the lack of pass rush really affected them in the long run. It affected them early in the season, too, last year. And they may have won 13 games, but it wasn't without having to fight for some of those victories because of that situation. And once again, they'll be fighting again here because, you know, they're losing out on a couple of guys. Suspensions and things like that have taken place. I look for them to at least, you know, try and see what they can get out of guys like Tapper and, of course, you know, young Taco Charlton to see what they can do. And, you know, you kind of got a taste of, you know, what happens when your pass rush is not all that grand. And the Arizona Cardinals at the early in this game kind of exposed them. So I think, you know, it's an uphill battle. I think that this young secondary can only do so much. I mean, they're learning on the fly as well. So. It's going to be a wait-and-see kind of thing for them, but, I mean, I'm happy that they got some young blood. That's all I can say. I'm a little bit fearful, though, the pass rush could be an Achilles heel.
You make anything out of the only running back that really didn't look good in this game was McFadden. Morris had some good runs. Rod Smith had, obviously, by the time Rod Smith comes in, this is your playing against the 3rd and 4th string. But... Like, I mean, obviously, you can also say that Alfred Morris is a bit motivated because there's a lot of talk going around that because he can't do anything but run the football, he's on the maybe getting cut list. Let's say he outperforms McFadden in this preseason. Do you think that that means anything, even if he can't block?
Here's the thing. I'm a big fan of Alfred Morris. I think that he's got so much to offer. And, you know, he's been working on catching balls out of the backfield and, you know, trying to, you know, improve his game a little bit. I think it sucks, though, for the fact that this guy is super talented, and Dallas just seems to have this infatuation with McFadden, which is okay. A guy like McFadden has proven time and again he's great out of the backfield, catching those balls I just talked about. He's a great runner. He offers some things, but he is old legs, and that's a fear, I think, for myself watching him. I love Morris, but I think Morris really is working to make sure he can prove to all 31 other teams that, hey, I got some gas in the tank. As soon as Dallas makes that decision, hey, I'll be ready for you guys. And, you know, we'll see what happens with that. But, yeah, to me, it's odd. I kind of look at it myself and say, man, I really would almost want Morris. You've got other guys that can kind of play that role of pass catcher. You need a guy that can just bulldoze, and that's what Morris does best.
Eric, what do you think? Like, obviously, if Zeke, say, he does have to miss a couple games, or, you know, we've seen what McFadden can do in that year where they had terrible quarterback play, but he still got 1,000 yards. Morris obviously has the history with the Redskins previously where he played very well. And he's shown flashes for the Cowboys, but he doesn't get enough carries to be able to really show something. I mean, would you go with Morris again, even if he can't really do anything for you but run the ball, or do you need to go with the guy that's a bit more versatile?
I would think, because a quarterback like Dak Prescott, he's in his second year. And there's a lot of questions to ask because you have that whole year of film on him and you're still trying to see what he can do now that you have expectations, now that defenses are planning for him. Even though it is a short suspension, potentially, I want my versatility in the backfield. I want to give Dak Prescott as many weapons as I possibly can. And in that case, yeah, I would love to go McFadden. Now, if you were strictly saying, okay, we're easing into these first few games, then turning Dak loose a little bit, then of course Jordan Morris would be your guy, but I don't think that's the Cowboys' strategy this year.
And if you're the Cardinals, Robert Kamdishi looked really good in this game. Again, you got to take this stuff with a grain of salt. But he seemed really motivated. He was a force going into that Cowboys line. He was giving Lyle Collins some issues. And that's the guy that the Cowboys are trying to fit out at right tackle over there. I mean, just we didn't see too much of him for the Cardinals last season, but he obviously comes with a big reputation from Ole Miss. Yeah, I think obviously he's looking to play a bigger role. Did you like what you saw, Eric?
I personally did, and he's seeing that he has the opportunity to really grow in this one, but as you keep saying, this is just that first one, and I would like to see him take momentum into this next preseason game. That way I can see, okay, is he really being serious?
Gary, did you like seeing Tony Romo up there in that outpost by himself?
Oh, my God. Oh, I feel for him and Jim Nance, you know, being stuck in the worst area. I bet they felt, you know, like they were in FedEx Field already. Oh, man.
Oh, man.
You know.
At least they're on an RFK, right, Eric?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, you know, you always hear the opposing, you know, commentators coming in, radio or, you know, whatever, always have to sit in that terrible spot in FedEx Field. So I think Romo's just, you know, getting a chance to see how those guys deal with it. But, no, I thought it was really neat, you know, to kind of see that he's doing a practice thing. And I thought it was kind of funny NBC to be showing off the CBS, you know, top crew. But, you know, it's all about Romo. That's the whole reason they did it. Otherwise, it would never have been shown. It was just kind of neat, you know. It was kind of funny as well.
As they say, it's preseason for everybody.
Yeah.
NBC gets it.
Yeah. Obviously, Dallas was one of the teams on the field. But I thought they gave Jerry Jones, like, probably way too much attention compared to the other. Like, you're talking about some big-name players here that are going into the Hall of Fame, and you're spending a lot more time with Jerry Jones here. I mean, did you guys kind of get that vibe, too, of you're celebrating the Hall of Fame and you're giving the guy that's an owner more time than the guys that are former players?
Well, if he wasn't going into the Hall of Fame, I would say yes, but I mean, they even showed the graphic how he took this team from a nader, comes in, buys it for $150 million, and in a generation's time has made that back 30-fold. So, with the kind of power and clout that he's earned, the best word I can use is kowtowed, which they really did. I can see why, because a couple phone calls, certain things happened, so I can't blame them from going that far.
What do you think, Gary? Does it have to do more with the Cowboys being on the field, or is this sort of let's cater to Jerry because he's Jerry?
Well, you know, he's Jerry Jones. He's got a lot of influence in the NFL. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, that's just the way it works. I think a lot of the owners around the league kind of look up to Jerry and follow whatever he, you know, kind of does. You know, Robert Kraft is the guy winning Super Bowls every year, but still Jerry Jones's name is bigger, right? It's kind of funny. But, you know, also he's kind of earned that respect. He's done a lot of great things in his time with not only the Dallas Cowboys, but with the NFL overall, you know, their TV deals and all the other things that, you know.
NFL Network.
And the network. Yeah, there's a ton of stuff, credentials behind his name. I think there's a couple of things. You know, Dallas Cowboys were only on the field because Jerry Jones was getting inducted into the Hall of Fame this year. Right. I don't think Dallas is even in the picture. I think, you know, you'd have the Rams or somebody else playing in that game. But, you know, overall, I think, you know, every year the Hall of Fame has kind of a main eventer, right? The guy that people really want to hear that speech, they want to see. And I think they kind of put Jerry Jones in that realm of, you know, one of the main eventers of this Hall of Fame. Sure, you got guys like LT, you know, LaDainian Tomlinson coming into the picture. You're like, man, you know, celebrate everything he's done. Kurt Warner, some big names. But still, you know, Jerry Jones still kind of trumps them a little bit there. And I think that's a big deal for the NFL. Last year was Brett Favre, right? Everybody cared about Brett Favre, and then everybody else was just kind of there throwing in. So it's the way it works. And, you know, it is a little bit more time than I would expect. But, you know, fair to them. Jerry Jones also didn't have a lot of stats to talk about or anything when it came to, you know, yards ran or passed or all that stuff. So you got a little bit of the story.
All right, so let's move on from this game. The Cowboys did win, by the way, 20-18. Shout out to my boy from Arkansas, the field goal kicker, for getting the win there. But
go ahead.
In a delicious performance by Trevor Knight from
Oklahoma.
See, Gary,
I knew.
Speaking of Texas A&M, let's get it, because I know Gary's got like a. So I'm sure he is ready to just lay down the hammer on the whole Texas A&M quarterbacks and not being healthy here. Ryan Tannehill, non-contact left knee injury, and there's already talk of him possibly being out for the entire season post-surgery. Ouch, ouch, and more ouch for a team that was ready to challenge in that AFC East as much as they could when you also got the Patriots in your division. And, you know, for that AFC in general, you know, certainly be a wild card that doesn't just luck into it, but it more like earns their way. And, you know, Adam Gase called up his buddy Jay Cutler, and he might be coming to Miami pending he gets the starting job. What do you think about this, Gary? Like, going to old Jay Cutler. He couldn't buy his way onto a team. And then here comes your buddy, Adam Gase, and all of a sudden you're getting talked about. No, go ahead.
Okay, so what's funny about this is, you know, when I first heard that Tannehill was in, it was not anything like a jump for glee or anything like that. Yes, I'm not a fan of Texas A&M quarterbacks, and I think that they pretty much infiltrate the NFL, die. But I look at Tannehill's situation, and I kept thinking to myself, I think Bill Belichick must have been doing his rain dance or something to rain down terror on the AFC East. And he thought to himself, what team really worries me out of this whole division? I think the Dolphins. So he did it a little bit their way, did a little boogie dance, a little witch doctor stuff, and then Tannehill goes down with no contact. And so there you go. Patriots, you just got your division once again. Because if Jay Cutler joins the Miami Dolphins and plays, there goes that locker room. There goes all that young hype, because here's a guy who's going to play when he feels like it. And when he wants to go to Dunkin' Donuts, that's what he's going to be thinking about instead of the game. So I don't know, man. I just feel terrible for Tannehill. I joke all the time about the A&M stuff, but it sucks, because this guy actually had an opportunity to come in and showcase maybe something that we have not seen, and some things that I think that he could have really got going for himself. And so this just kind of sucks for them. And I don't know. I don't know where the Miami Dolphins go for him. I don't think Jay Cutler is really the answer. I mean, sure, he's an easy pickup and all that, but I mean, besides trading for Texas A&M's Trevor Knight, I think maybe Johnny Manziel, maybe the other Texas A&M quarterback I'd look at rather than Jay Cutler.
Eric, also, Jay Cutler is not the most – he has an injury history himself.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, what if Jay Cutler goes down to, like, week two and you're in the same situation? And here you go, giving this guy starting QB money – to come in here and be your starting QB.
Yeah, I'm going to say I don't like it. Another name that was floated around was Colin Kaepernick. I would rather see him down there. If Adam Gase is truly one of the quarterback whispers, prove your worth and do something with him, rather than a guy who looks and plays like he doesn't care. And Gary, there's a lot better donut shops in Miami and other places than just Dunkin' Donuts. He has options, and that's a scary proposition.
Oh, man. His mind will really be racing.
I mean, you know, if he could get a hold of, like, Night Owl cookies, I mean, my God, he would never show up to practice.
Oh, God.
Eric is still looking for that sponsorship there, Night Owl cookies, so.
You're not getting rid of me that easily.
Oh, bad.
You know, speaking of Colin Kaepernick, and we could talk if you want about whether he's a good fit for Miami, but there's a larger thing going on with them and him in Baltimore, where obviously John Harbaugh, brother of Jim Harbaugh, who coached him when they were very close to winning a Super Bowl, you have his former offensive coordinator there right now. The Ozzie Newsome wants him there, the GM. The problem is that obviously Colin Kaepernick carries a lot of baggage with him because of what happened last year. And Baltimore is not, you know, we know Baltimore has a history with racial inequality and riots and things like that. So the owner had a fan forum. He's talked to various people in the league. Right now, it seems like they're going towards no, but there's always a chance they go towards yes. I know a lot of people like to make that thought of, oh, well, you can go beat up a woman or kill some dogs and get in the league, but you stand up for inequality and you're getting blackballed. I mean, first of all, do y'all believe that it's... I'm going to go to you, Eric. Do you believe that it's a blackballed thing? And should Baltimore only be looking at his on-the-field stuff? Or does this whole circus, does this whole thing with him, is it really that big a deal where the owner, you know, Steve Bisciotti, should be going, oh, I don't think we can take that risk?
I mean, yes, it is a circus, but it shouldn't really be a circus, especially in this political climate. And what I find, and with all the trends and with the different character histories in the NFL, if you can still play, someone on a team is going to give you a job. With Ray Rice, yes, everything eventually straightened out. Yes, that was deplorable. He couldn't play. He's done. Michael Vick, yes, what he did was deplorable. He paid his debt. He could still play. I think people are looking at, can Colin Kaepernick still play? And as it's been pointed out several times by several different analysts, does he still want to play? People are clamoring to hear from Kaepernick himself instead of some agent or tweets through Adam Schefter or what have you. They're not. And until they do...
But obviously, if he didn't want to play, he would just say, no, don't sign me. Don't talk about me. I'm not coming. Like, obviously, he's talking to John Harbaugh, and he's telling John Harbaugh, yeah, I want to play.
And that's why now it becomes, finally, if it's not with John Harbaugh, at least John Harbaugh can spread the word, yes, he wants to play. Other teams can start calling around and picking up the phone, doing whatever. That's a big first step. So now the question goes to, can he play? And the jury's still out. I personally, as a fan and looking at it from my perspective, I think he still can in the right system. But a lot of other people don't.
Yeah,
Gary,
about
what do you think about this? Yeah.
You know, this is a guy that, I mean, I'm right there with Eric. I think that he has the ability to still play in this league, and I think he does have a lot to
16 touchdowns, 4 interceptions last year.
Yep, exactly. And, you know, definitely has a little bit of baggage to go with him, along with all that success. But, you know, here's the thing. It's about him being blackballed and kind of being put in a situation where it's not about the coach's staff. It's not about the GMs. It's really about the owners. And the owners are about what? Winning, but primarily money. And they saw money leaving their pockets once, you know, the whole national anthem thing went down. The ratings kind of took a dip, and they saw a little fear, you know, for what's going to happen in the future of this league if those kind of things happen, especially with, you know, a lot of Americans who are really, you know, political and things like that, you know, maybe taking offense or maybe really jumping behind Colin Kaepernick and really saying down with the national anthem and things like that. And so I think that that controversy has really scared a lot of these owners, and I think probably collectively they've all said, we don't need this in our league, and it's not my thing. It's whatever those owners are doing, they're the one percenters. They make all the decisions for the rest of the hundreds of thousands of people that work in and around the NFL. And so I think that this something that's, you know, a shame. A guy that definitely has the ability to play. I think a guy that would step into Baltimore and with Flacco or anybody else in this league getting injured could step in and give them an ability to kind of still have some success. It's just a shame. It really is. And, you know, Kaepernick has his thoughts and what he wants to do. Maybe it's a two-way street. We got to think about that as well. Maybe Kaepernick, you know, should put the political stuff on the side, get done with his career, then come out with it strong. But he's using the NFL for a platform, and the NFL is using him for a platform to say, we're not going to stand for you guys acting like that.
I mean, but do you – what if Kaepernick says – look, I'm done with it. But the thing is, he would obviously have to speak out about this as well. But is that enough for him to say, okay, I'm done with this political stuff, I just want to play? Or does it go beyond that where it's like, look, this is a problem in the locker room. The moment he steps in there, you're going to have a division. The moment that he gets on the field, it becomes a media deal where the media immediately flock to him and want to have conversations with him and all that stuff, and like, okay, let's say Flacco doesn't play the whole preseason. If Kaepernick plays well and he becomes the number two, or say Flacco gets hurt again and he's your starting QB, I mean, what is that? Is there anything that you're saying, like, because obviously John Harbaugh and Ozzie Newsome say they're ready to bring him. But the owner is the one saying, no, no, there's just too much going on here. I can't do this. Like, or I think there's going to be too much backlash or whatever. It's just, at one point, can Colin Kaepernick step in and try to save this for himself and say, look, all I want to do is play football. I don't care about all that other stuff right now. Can he say something to get them to turn the corner?
He can start by saying something, but unfortunately with this, again, going back to this current climate, those words are still going to be out there. Those thoughts are still going to be out there. But he can just saying something that might buy him some time. I think if he goes out there and plays well, the politics and all the other off-the-field issues won't go away, but they'll be on the back burner.
But they got to sign him first. Miami,
yeah, again, it's either Baltimore, Miami, or whoever. They just have to be the one team to sign him, give him that opportunity, and let things sort themselves out. I don't know if the owners so much are going to have the patience like the coaches and GMs will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. And, you know, once again, I mean, it kind of goes back to that whole situation that the owners may have made an agreement together and said, look, we're not going to let our league be, you know, held hostage by politics. We're just going to go ahead and eliminate that issue and not allow guys that are going to be overly political to come in our league. And I don't know that happened. I have no idea, but it makes me feel like that's the situation because, you know, Ozzie Newsome, I mean, super intelligent, knows, you know, talent, knows what to do when it comes to running a team, when it comes to player personnel, for sure. And for him to be excited about Kaepernick, you know, then that means that Kaepernick's definitely a great talent and still has something to offer. And I'm sure there's other teams around this league that would love to have Kaepernick right now in preseason and getting ready to play this season because, you know, a guy like that gives you, once again, a leg up if one of your big stars and gets hurt. So I think that this is a situation where I don't know what Kaepernick could really say. If he doesn't say anything, it just comes in and plays and keeps quiet, maybe that's the best option. But you're going to have people saying he's sold out and things like that if he starts just standing for the national anthem, not causing a problem, just being, you know, a player. You're going to have people saying you sold out, you're not following your beliefs. And then if he says his beliefs and lets them be known, then it's going to be like, oh, here comes that troublemaker. So
but
I think
why does it have to be that he's sold out, though? Like, can't he just say, look, I've just realized that maybe our nation's not as bad as it was, and that, you know, I'm going to go back to the way the things were before this all started. I mean,
yeah, but you got to understand too. There's other players that followed his example, other players that stood behind him, and for him to say that and leave them looking like, oh, I'm all of a sudden, you know, the guy that's going this other path, and I'm leaving them hanging. You know, that's the way that these other players are going to look at it. I mean, they're going to look at it like, you know, Richard Sherman, Malcolm Jenkins, guys like that have called, you know, teams and the owners cowards, saying that they're too scared to let a man stand up for his beliefs, and they're just terrified, and they should, you know, feel ashamed. And those guys are backing a guy like Kaepernick and probably have a lot of the same politics behind him. And if for them to support a guy like this and want him to come in and be that, you know, basically open mic for the cause, it's going to really, I think, affect them too. They're going to be a little upset if Kaepernick comes in and starts playing the straight-laced game, you know, yes, sir, kind of thing. I think that will affect other guys around the league. And it'll probably affect the relationship that Kaepernick has with them.
I mean, Eric, but isn't there something to be said for, look, the man's just trying to get a job here?
Yeah, and that's really part of the dichotomous argument that Gary mentioned. You're going to have a lot of players on both sides. One that loves the ideals, ones that don't. There's very few that are just whatever. It's those few whatevers that are saying, hey, he's trying to get work, you know, he's trying to do a big thing, but I don't think that there's enough of them to really help carry him, if that makes any sense.
So from a on-the-field perspective here, looking at just the two teams that don't have quarterbacks right now, obviously the system is better in Baltimore as far as the people around him. He will have people that he probably knows better. But you could argue that there is more talent on the offensive side of the ball. And that spot is more open, it seems like, in Miami. If you're Colin Kaepernick, what option do you take? Or what option do you think is a better fit for him? Like, go where there's all this receiving talent and Jay Ajayi in Miami, or you go in Baltimore where, okay, the coaching staff, I'm familiar with them, but the talent is obviously lesser with now Kenneth Dixon's out for a while, I think the whole season. And obviously the receivers are much less talented. They're a good group of receivers, but not what Miami has. What are you thinking about here for Kaepernick?
Depends on how. Oh, go ahead, Gary.
You know, it's really tough to say. I think right now you need a stability, and the sooner he can get in the system and really get stable, then that means the better success he's going to have during the year. So I would personally lean towards Baltimore for all the reasons you mentioned, Sean. Just the familiarity, having people around him that, you know, seem to really care about him. I think the Miami Dolphins situation is interesting. Do I think he could have some success? Yeah, I think he could. But it's not really set up for him, per se, and they would have to kind of adjust a few things for him. And, yes, the talent's great there. I think he would have some success. But, you know, would it be right away? I don't know. I don't know that he can just step in there and just all of a sudden cold get all, you know, get red hot. I think it would take a little time to get him where he needs to be, whereas I think in the Baltimore Ravens, I think he's got a little bit easier learning curve.
All right, so there's another probably less significant injury as far as he's not the only receiver on the team, but Will Fuller broken collarbone out 2 to 3 months for the Houston Texans. How big is this?
A little minor because, well, they still haven't 100% figured out who's throwing to him, but at the same time, you have someone who's proving to be more and more dependable, so it hurts, but it's not overwhelmingly big problem. It just kind of adds on to the smaller problems the Texans have.
Yeah, I think that's it's a good point, Eric. And it's for the fact that, you know, they have a system down there where I think that they'll be okay without Fuller. I mean, they dealt with him as a rookie last year, and he had some success. You know, they just got to let him heal up, and he'll be back. You know, this is not a season-ending situation. And I think, you know, giving that time to heal up and use your other weapons. I don't know if it's because of the fact that, you know, they do have a running back down there that if, you know, let it be known that, you know, he can, you know, take some of the pressure off of whoever's throwing the ball. But I think whoever's throwing the ball is the biggest question rather than this injury.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it seems like Deshaun Watson is the front runner, but you never know at this point. Sometimes the decisions could change daily. Obviously, that report that came out about the CTE is not what you wanted to hear, but it's not something that we kind of didn't already know or weren't expecting that to be the case. Does that worry you at all for the league going forward about how much CTE is a question and how much, I mean, it seems like it's pretty much a certainty if you play NFL football at this point. I mean, like, those bodies are of older players. Health is, it's a much more known thing in 2015 onward or whatever. Is it as big a deal as it seems? I mean, I'm just saying, like, are we going to see less people playing football, more premature retirements, all these kinds of things because of these reports now? Or does this not really change a whole lot?
Yeah. You know, I don't know that it changes a lot right away. I mean, I think, you know, there are situations we've seen in the recent past where guys retired early, they got scared, and hey, I mean, that's their decision, and hey, you know, I get it. I understand why they would want to, you know, get out of the league before they get, you know, some kind of serious injury. You know, this is one thing I consider for the fact that this knowledge that we've gotten has been here for a little while. And, you know, maybe the last 10 years, it's been a big focus on, you know, brain scans and really trying to figure out why some of the elder players back in the day started having all these big issues and dementia and other severe problems. I think, you know, though, we have to also evaluate the time period too and see, and they've tried to improve their helmets and different things. And yes, you probably will never have a helmet that protects you completely, but they're trying to improve. But those cases that we've got now will not be discussed until another 20 years, probably, about today's players and things like that. So you're going to have that question mark hanging over a lot of these players. You know, you do have, you know, the young Pop Warner kids that, you know, parents are cool with it. And you got a lot of those parents pulling them out and throwing them in soccer and saying, okay, kids, you know, let's play something else. Let's not be so dangerous. And so you may see a little bit of that, but I think the game will still be okay. And I think people will still flock to it. It's just this fear we have right now, and I don't know how you really avoid it, though. It's going to be here until they can prove that they're doing something right to help players and protect players.
What do you think, Eric?
I mean, you're already starting to see this trend, and I think this, as Gary said, it's going to be in the short term now for this generation. You're going to see it over a couple of years. As technologies improve, as more reports come out across all sports, there are certain issues about with soccer players. I've seen studies come out more about concussions and CTE, similar issues in rugby. So there's a lot of cards that have to be put on the table. Until they all are, everybody's just going to be in a holding pattern. Will we, years from now, see rule changes and see kids approaching it differently, parents approaching it differently, from a Pop Warner, from a high school level, absolutely. But I think for right now, it's just going to be a blip rather than a point on a curve.
Mm-hmm. You know, and this is my thing, and it sounds very heartless. It probably would make some people angry, but I look at the NFL just like any other profession or any other job, right? And there's, I mean, hundreds of jobs around the country, around the world that have some significant danger. I have a buddy who works in wastewater. He falls in a certain area where they have their chemicals and stuff. He said he's dead. He has no choice but just to drown. They cannot save him fast enough. He fell in the water. There's different, you know, jobs like that where you just don't know. Your health could be at risk working at some factories. You kind of maybe even have to sign waivers to work at some places because of your chance of death. And people even get sick, you know, working and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So there's always that possibility. You always take your chance, whatever you're doing. And I think the NFL is no different. And it's not to say that I, you know, am saying it's okay to have problems and CTEs are just a normal thing. Get over it. No, that's not the truth. It's just that they're having to learn. Right now, we're just now getting to the point where we're trying to really figure this out. It's not fair to expect us to change overnight. It's not going to. And that's the thing. I think people are taking it and blowing it way out of proportion because they want to hit this and hit it quick and maybe tarnish the league or maybe just make it a bigger deal about something that, you know, there's lots of things going on in the world that are dangerous too. We're just pointing out the NFL on this.
Yeah. It's just the NFL gets impacted a heck of a lot more than other leagues because it's constant contact, right? I mean, you know, in college, you're kind of still looking at it as these guys are young. You now know the dangers. If you want to play in college, that's fine, right? I think they're not looking at it. And then most of those people don't go on to the NFL. You're just playing those 4 years, those 3 years, and then you're done. You don't play football again. So I think for the NFL, they are the biggest league. They are the most high profile league, and that you're gonna be the one that gets looked at, right? It's like when, you know, we talk about on the wrestling show when Dirty makes a decision about wellness or whatever. They're the one that's gonna be looked at the most, not the other companies. So that's the thing. Like, I think, you know, in the soccer world, that's a problem where, you know, UEFA and FIFA don't want to talk about head injuries. It's a problem in soccer. But, you know, MLS apparently is going to do something about it. And sometimes it just takes that league that says, okay, we're going to do something. And, I mean, they do a lot already. It's just some of it is kind of unavoidable, and you have to make that decision, right? Is your life more important, or do you love this game so much you're willing to put yourself through that and say, I'm going to find out later on that I might have brain problems or not live as long a life because I chose to play for this long?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I always kind of look at it. It's kind of interesting for this fact. You know, I kept talking about you know, positions or opportunities when it comes to jobs. You know, you think of guys who join the military, you know, sometimes they join for many reasons, right? Because, well, you get an mm-hmm. education, you get other opportunities out there in the workforce, you get trained for a certain job, you know, you go from fixing military jets to fixing jumbo jets and things like that. And they take that risk. They could be in a war tomorrow after they join, or they may never even see a war at all. And that's just the chances they take and what they sign up for. Same with the NFL. These guys sign up for it. They know what they're getting into now. There's too much technology for them not to know. So do I feel bad for them? Yes, I do. But do I blame the owners? Do I blame the coaches? Do I blame the medical staff that these guys have concussions and that they're getting sick? No, it's a part of the game. And sadly, it just is. I wish everybody could float on a pillow and be all hunky-dory, but that's not the way it works. That's not what they signed up for. Just like a soldier can't sign up and not expect it to get shot at sometimes.
Yeah, that's a very true statement there. It is at this point sort of maybe not that extreme, but you do know what happens when you go and sign up for the military, right? Like, that you could face action and you could face putting your life in danger, or you may never. And you're just going over there to learn something, learn a skill, or, you know, whatever it is. And so, and then you also face that risk of when you get back, you may not be able to get a job. Because, especially if you fought, there's so many things that kind of stand against you as a former military person. So, I mean, many people do. I'm just saying that is out there, obviously. But moving on from this, I just wanted to like get y'all's points on this. We'll just go kind of rapid fire here. Blake Bortles, a lot of people are making light of the fact that Blake Bortles had a bad practice at one point, and then Brandon Albert decided he wanted to retire that day, and they terrible news reporting kind of put them both together, which was not the case. Are you worried now about this offensive line, Eric, and subsequently the quarterback that they're having to protect because Brandon Albert is gone?
The offensive line, not so much. The quarterback, very much. Mechanics have always been an issue, and it's hard to throw 3 interceptions in practice. That makes me a little squeamish, because I don't know if he's going to stick to, hopefully, a new set of mechanics, or if he's going to revert. And if he does revert, problem.
Chargers already losing guys off the offensive line. Forrest Lamp, the rookie, torn ACL. How much is that a problem for the Chargers?
That's a big shame. They were really wanting Lamp to come in and really help anchor that offensive line, really give them some young energy, and a guy that's super talented. I mean, one of the better tackles to come out of the draft this past year. So it's definitely a hit. I think they were really kind of dependent on him to give them some extra effort.
Tyrann Mathieu says he is the best player in the world. Is he?
No. I love the Honey Badger, but no.
Still Tom Brady or what? Who?
As much as I hate to say it, yes. I can't. I need a shower after this.
Oh, man. Yeah, I you know, I don't know. That whole thing of who's the best, it always kind of makes me squeamish in general, because there's so many different parts of this that it doesn't make sense to add up just to one guy. But, I mean, hey, Tom Brady's not a bad name to throw in there as one of the best.
Gary, what do you make of this Ezekiel Elliott thing? Is he going to be playing in week one?
I wish I could tell everyone yes or no. My gut is telling me yes, he will be playing week one. And the reason behind it is really the league has stretched and stretched this thing out and taken their time, and they're trying to find something. Apparently, if you know, watching this preseason game, we're hearing that it's nothing about even the girl and the whole incident with all that and, you know, no physicality. It's about the other things, which I think they're alluding to, you know, maybe some speeding tickets he's had. And he's also had a situation with a DJ in a bar where he apparently was supposed to have knocked the guy out, but they can't find the DJ and nobody at the bar says it's him. They're just, you know, they're looking for something. They're praying to God that something will pop up. I think they probably even offered him some, you know, free strip club stuff tonight just to see if he can go and get in trouble. But, you know, on Roger Goodell's dime, it's still probably not going to happen. I don't know. I just don't know if they found enough evidence to put this guy in a situation where they're going to suspend him 2 games.
What do you think, Eric? Is he playing week one?
I'm personally leaning towards yes, because there's way too many straws to grasp. They're going to milk this throughout the preseason and then they're finally going to decide right before Labor Day, yeah, we got nothing. Let him play. Just for the drama.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. It seems like, and even Jerry said it in the broadcast, like, it's not even the domestic violence stuff anymore. It's the other dumb things that they have less stuff on than that. Right? It's just we're trying to make this a situation that doesn't really need to be a situation. Just end it already.
Yeah. You know, what's kind of funny about this whole thing, guys, is the fact that the only thing that we have that we can prove that Ezekiel Elliott did that maybe construed as wrong is, like, showing a girl's boob to everybody, right? That's the only thing.
Is that really that wrong, though?
Well, no, it's
no,
not.
No, that's happened to me before.
But they're just saying, it could be considered, you know, sexual assault if she wanted to say, hey, I didn't agree to that, you shouldn't have done that. That can be, but, you know, she didn't said it was okay and no problem. But that's the one thing that they have proof of. There's video of that. That's what I'm saying. So out of everything else, this is the only thing that they have proof on. So that's what makes me lean towards they would be stretching it just to find, yes, that he could be suspended.
Yeah, I hope he's playing week one just because, you know, the Cowboys really need him against the Giants, even though, yes, the Giants kind of were able to kind of hamper him a little bit. But it's, you know, obviously the team is much different with Zeke playing than he's not. And I forgot to mention how great Hassan Reddick kept getting better as the game went on today, too. I should mention the kid from Temple.
Yeah. And Buda Baker, too, man. I'm impressed with both those guys. They looked excellent.
So the Cardinals chose to get a bit younger on that defensive side. It worked out for them. The Cowboys still have a little ways to go on their end with all their rookies and everything. But look, again, this is just week one. This is week zero, technically, in the preseason. Week one begins this weekend, in fact. It begins, on Thursday? Is it, or next Thursday? Is that how it goes?
Sounds about right.
I'm trying to remember. We talked about this, Eric, and I'm sitting there going, oh, why did I forget?
Yeah, I know it's next week.
Actually, it might be a four then. It might be like Wednesday or something like that. But
I think Wednesday and then like every day throughout the next week.
Yeah, so get ready. You know, enjoy that football. It's almost here, almost the regular season time. So get ready for some football happening. We'll be back on the regular Monday edition, previewing another division, which we skipped here because we were talking about a game and some other things. And then on Thursday we'll talk about if we've watched any preseason games and probably discuss the Denver. I forgot who's playing Denver at this point. The Thursday night game because it's on NFL Network, basically. And then, yeah, we'll get into previewing another division and then just kind of keep trotting along until we're talking about season previews and everything else. And we might have some college conference previews coming your way, too. We have a special guest that wants to do those. So we'll see how that gets going now that tournaments have ended with soccer finally and things are starting to kind of cool down and in other places we can put a large focus on other things. But yeah, apologize for we didn't intend to take a big break like this. It just kind of happened. But now we have more reason to be around and be talking because football's back, everybody. Training camp happening every day to hear about and hear things happening, news, and of course the games coming up. But all right, until Monday night, Tuesday morning. Hopefully you enjoyed this show. Subscribe. Leave comments where you listen, whether it's 72mnet.com, on iTunes, rate and review there, just wherever you're listening to us. We appreciate it, and hopefully you'll join us next time.
Peace.
Later.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.